You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! Oh, it's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in. Oh! Jay Cottrell with a screamer! I don't believe it! An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's match with Altrincham from New Year's Day.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Happy New Year. I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the football, later in the show, we'll have a ground update from board member Lawrence Gill, and we'll be hearing from fan campaigner Jackie Forster on her latest initiative. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news with an update on the upcoming Austria-Salzburg match on Saturday the 4th of February. Due to flight schedules for Salzburg fans, kick-off for this match at Broadhurst Park has now been confirmed for 5pm. We will have a further update in the coming weeks on some of the other events taking place around this landmark friendly for the club. In other fixture news, and tickets are now on sale for this coming Saturday's league match up at Fylde. Fylde do not operate cash turnstiles on a match day, but tickets can be purchased from their ticket office on the day of the game. But to help avoid queues at the ticket office, FC United supporters wishing to attend the match are advised to purchase tickets in advance directly from the club website at tickets.afcfylde.co.uk. And finally, this coming Friday at Broadhurst Park will see the start of the club's regular pan-disability football sessions for anyone over the age of 16. This first session is free and takes place on the Broadhurst 3G between 5 and 6 this Friday. For more information, please contact Tom Conroy at fc-utd.co.uk or call the club office on 0161 769 2005. To the first team now, and on New Year's Day, FC United hosted bottom of the league Altrincham in the second part of a festive doubleheader. Could FC repeat their Boxing Day result against the Robins and take all 3 points in this one? It's over now to the FC Live team to find out.
It's now on the right-hand side, a good flick on from FC United of Manchester, and it's Gilchrist holds the ball well, looks for the support of his younger Kieran Glynn. He gets that, and it goes out for a throw into FC United of Manchester. Now, we're complaining about the cold. And we do complain about the cold, but look out there, the ball crew. Some of them are no older than 7 years of age, and they're keen as mustard. The ball down the right-hand side for FC United, the penalty area now. Ball cut inside. Is it going to be finished by an FC shot? Yes, it is! Well, it's dreadful defending from the home to the visitors. And FC United's number nine, Jason Gilchrist. Well, there was...
Oh, it's too easy.
Nothing else he could do apart from score the goal. He was about 4 yards outside of the area, and... bang into the bottom corner.
Yeah, fantastic start. I mean, the early signs of that was Harry Winter right from the kickoff, just casually just coasting past a couple of players. Nobody's really closing them down from Altrincham. They had space out on that right-hand side as we're attacking. Fantastic footwork, though, to get the ball in, a lovely ball in, and well finished, but far too easy. Too much space given to the FC forward.
I know they're playing in yellow, but it was like going through butter, wasn't it? and that was really, really poor defending from the visitors. And
it was a good ball from Dale Tong.
It was,
fantastic,
yeah. I mean, the ball,
ball
in,
yeah,
it was,
ball
it,
in
it was a very good ball. 39 seconds, the goal comes. FC United's Chris Chandler on this near touchline. Ball, lovely ball there into the penalty area. And a good touch and turn there by Glynn again. Comes across there. Oh, the goalkeeper gets down this time well, and he nullifies the cross there because there was a man waiting to pounce, and it was the goal scorer, Jason Gilchrist, who made himself and got himself into a good position. And, again, good link
fantastic,
up play.
Yeah, fantastic run from Glynn. A lovely ball across, and the keeper's done well to hold on to it.
Well, a hustle and bustle outside of FC United penalty. His opportunity should be 1-1. Oh, he's through the goalkeeper's. And it is 1-1. Well,
to be fair, Basso did really well with that originally.
Well, there was it was a long ball played up. There was a hustle and a bustle between Andy Owens on his debut against him and against FC United of Manchester's Luke Ashworth. It just fell kindly. He managed to get through, and then
you could see that coming about 10 seconds before it happened, though. It was pretty basic, wasn't it, Emily?
Yeah, it was. I'm struggling to work out what the defence was thinking. The fullbacks weren't tucking in. The ball was straight down the middle. It was bouncing. And it was almost like they just stood and watched it for a while. He's, like you say, Basso did well with the first shot. One-on-one, you don't expect him to get anything on it. But he couldn't hold on to it.
And we've got about 30 seconds of added time left. It's 1-1. And Altrincham with a chance maybe to grab a goal that puts them in the lead. Got to take this throw in quickly, though, Densmore. There to build something. Nice turn there. Owens was being fouled, but stays on his feet and tackled eventually. And Umo, and that was... and it's Winter. He could be in trouble here, Winter.
He is,
and a bit of afters. That was a very, very robust challenge. And there are definitely some handbags going on, and the referee giving himself a moment here. But Winter was booked. Silly bug. And there's some real... people. Ashworth got involved, and players having to be calmed down here and pulled away.
To be fair, the original tackle, I think, was going to be all right.
Yeah,
it was Ashworth kicking the ball at the player when he's down that kicked it all off.
So let's see what the referee decides. He keeps backing away here. Players, all sorts of players wanting to have a word, get involved. Now then, the referee's giving it. Oh, and there's a red card for... It's a red card for Malt. Not sure whether he must have said something or maybe raised his hand at an Altrincham player. Well, that's the first piece of punishment. So Malt. Now, what's going to happen now? A referee surrounded by Altrincham players, but is he going to issue any cards to FC players? Malt has been sent off.
The thing is, the referee straight away on the as after the first challenge came in, he was reaching for his card, and then it all kicked off after that. So I don't know if.
And the three, just to let you know, there are three officials are now in conversation to sort this one out. Altrincham definitely down to 10 men. And a really long discussion. It's pulled over. It's Ashworth, I think. He's red card as well.
He's opened it up there. That's what he's on.
Kicking the ball at the player. And it's 10 aside. And that's unfortunate. Came out right at the end of the half. And is that the end of the problem now?
He was a bit daft.
It's disappointing. That's the disappointing thing with he wasn't involved in the challenge. He didn't need to, and we've all seen it. He's kicked the ball at the player, and we know the consequence of that. And it's not just this game that you suffer. It's the consequence of suspensions as well in a player like Ashworth for FC United. You can't afford to lose them.
And three games, of course, and
big
in the set. That's the one set of positions where FC have got pretty thin on the ground, whereas midfield and up front there are options.
Fewer options, alternatives.
Referee's still talking to Jerome Wright.
He's not even talked to Winter yet.
What will happen
straight, there? Straight away, he wasn't happy with the initial challenge. Now, from our angle, it just looked like a strong challenge from both players.
Basso with his free kick, which I think will herald the half-time whistle. Indeed, it does. Well, a rather tempestuous end to the first half here. A first half which began with a goal after 39 seconds by Gilchrist, and then to the 21st minute. Loney, Andy Owens equalising for Altrincham after it was saved initially by Basso, but he got the rebound. Emily, you're...
I think FC certainly started off the livelier and looked very strong, but Altrincham have played their way back in. FC guilty of giving up possession and allowing the Altrincham to gain the confidence and bring the ball forwards. Altrincham, for me, have been the stronger this half, played the better football, created more opportunities. It's finished somewhat on a sour note. I'm not sure on the initial challenge, but the referee straight away went for his pocket, so I think he thought the tackle itself was a dangerous one. Both teams down to 10. There's a lot of talking points for the management A lot of things that FC United, Carl Marginson, needs to get in there and get a hold of his players to really, you know, pull them back together. We need to gain possession, we need to do more with the ball, and we need to not allow Altrincham to bring the ball forward as quite as easy as they have been.
Thank you very much, Emily. So we'll leave you there with a half-time scoreline of FC United and Manchester 1, Altrincham 1.
And that's how the match finished. FC United 1, Altrincham 1. Here with the FC Live team at the final whistle.
But that's it. It's finished one apiece. And will Altrincham go from 7 points to 8 points? And, well, FC United have been in a battle today. It's the battle of, if you were a neutral, a battle of two pretty average teams, but a lot of entertainment.
From the off, it was an entertaining game. Like you say, probably a fair result overall when you look at the game as a whole. But very, very disappointing result from an FC point of view. You know, playing at home against the team at the bottom, you expect a little bit more from them. Showed signs of it. Like you say, we've got some entertaining players out there. Great to watch Kieran Glynn, but just lacked the support and the balls into him a lot of the time throughout the game. Maybe he's a step ahead of us. But, you know, overall, fair result, but lots to work on.
Yeah, certainly, as I say, you know, a team that are at the bottom of the division, they've come here, they've given their all, both teams down to 10 men for the entire second half as well, after two red cards for Jack Molt of Altrincham and FC United, Manchester Luke Ashworth. So that meant a change around the second half, and it was Harry Winter who went to that centre-half role. And you're right, I mean, it was a game of... there was some basic mistakes in defence. And as you'd expect, a team at the bottom of the division are going to make mistakes, but there was endeavour there was work rate there from both teams, and FC will probably feel that they should have gone and won this game this afternoon here at Broadhurst Park. We won 3-0 away at Altrincham, not at a canter, but there were signs that FC United were the team that could have gone here today and made it 3 or 4, but unfortunately it's not to be, and it finishes 1-1. Ben,
we did mess around with the formation. We had about 3 or 4 different formations today, didn't we? Obviously because of the sending off, but then the substitutions later on as well. We never really had anything settled, did we?
Well, I think towards the end, I think it was the right things to do for me. Tom Greaves, he came on and I think he really made a difference. It just gave us a little bit more fight, a little bit more pace up front. Same with Matthew Wolfenden coming on. I think at certain times in the game you need those changes to mix it up, to really test the defence. I think throughout, if you get too settled, it becomes too easy, and the game can lose your way a little bit.
Go on, carry on.
Yeah, so things for me, you know, FC in the first half, we allowed Altrincham back into the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Far too easily, you know, we seemed to sit off and back off, whereas at the start we were piling the pressure on and didn't allow them to settle on the ball, but they played their way back into the game, but we allowed them to do it. We made them look a better quality side than what I think they really are.
No doubt. The one thing you can see, though, from both the players, the management and the members of the board that are just walking past below us, that point for Altrincham this afternoon, it's like they've won the game, and also they're in the FA Cup, because it means so much, because obviously they've not been winning 7 points all season. To come here and get a point, that
could be a turning point.
Could be a
point
massive turning point for them, because they're all that's for them. It's like 3 points for them. That,
yeah, certainly. And you could see the reaction in the players. You know how hard the Altrincham players have worked. You know, a few players collapsing to the ground just in exhaustion, they deserved it.
The new signings have helped. That they've got. They are a lot more finished than they were against.
What time are you there to, by the way?
We're on air for another 34 seconds.
Oh, that's it.
Yes.
Oh, we'll do a wrap up later on then. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it just remains to say New Year's Day is upon us, and FC United start 2017 in unspectacular form, shall we say. It was an entertaining game from a perspective of two average teams going for each other, but I think a little better finishing for Altrincham in large parts of that game might have actually changed the outcome. But equally, FC United had some chances as well, and we even had a melee and a brawl, two sendings off, two goals, and from Broadhurst Park, well, it's for us, good afternoon, good evening, good welcome, goodbye, and also we'll see you next week, Fylde being our next opponents away from home. So we hope you enjoyed your festivities last evening. It's on to football and the usual business from here at Broadhurst Park. It's very goodbye to Emily.
Goodbye.
A goodbye from James Quinn. A big goodbye from Stato Paul. A big goodbye from Dylan Hughes, making his debut here this afternoon and enjoying himself incredibly. And as always, it's a big hello and goodbye from Ben.
Bye. That's how we ended.
That's how we've ended.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Take care. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. This is the part of the show where we sit down, we chew the cud, we have a Manx knob or two, a packet of skips, one of Sully's sweets, and we are indeed joined by not only James Quinn, but Mr. Roy Sula. Roy, not commentating this afternoon because we had a plethora of us up here. What were your overall thoughts on the game?
I thought it was quite an even game, to be honest, you know, right the way through. First 15 minutes or so, FC had the foot on the accelerator and went at Alter. They got the goal early doors. I think it must have been within the first 2 minutes of the game.
In fact, 39 seconds.
Right.
So very, very quick.
Yeah, and showed a bit of impetus and then, for some reason, took the foot off the accelerator and, you know, were coasting a little bit. Couldn't even say they were put the brakes on. Mr. Jones in the centre of the park started getting a bit more influential and creating a few more things. I just felt that Alte, as I felt in the previous game, were playing isolated strikers up top, and that was one of the main problems in the previous game, because I didn't feel it was a 3-0 game in that game.
No
disrespect to anybody, but I think it's been a fairly entertaining game. They've both tried to play football. They've both, when they've had possession of the ball, tried to keep possession. And I just felt that the outlets for both teams wasn't plentiful.
Do you think, I mean, it's a frustrating result for FC because Altrincham are where they are.
Mm.
But do you think that those points have dropped today by a poor FC performance, or because Altrincham are just improving and not really, that, and the league table isn't reflecting the quality of their team?
I said that last week. I felt that the quality of Altrincham didn't warrant them being bottom of the league. It certainly doesn't entitle them to be top of the league neither, or the division, should I say. But you can see they've got qualities in there. Possibly qualities that have lost the legs a little bit as well. You can see that they can play, but they don't have the energy and gas to get about the park as quick as what they maybe should be getting round, you know, because, I mean, this is a competitive league, competitive
very much
division.
So.
And I think that's one of the biggest things, that once you've lost possession, you have to have the legs to recover to get back into defensive positions.
Well, two new signings for Altrincham this afternoon, and the goal scorer making his debut on those, Andy Owens. Yeah. And that's what we discussed when we were looking at them against FC Altrincham a week ago. The outlet up front, there was no one there. They brought in, addressed that straight away. They've got a big, strong centre-forward who caused all sorts of problems all afternoon, scores the equalising goal.
We watched him last year.
Yeah.
Do you remember where?
Stalybridge.
No, tell you where.
Where was it?
It was at Marine. He was the centre forward for Marine.
Oh, of course he was.
And
that's
he
right,
actually
yes.
started as a right fullback, believe it or not, for Southport.
Right, right.
So the lad, you know, has got.
Before that, sorry to be.
Some decent qualities.
At Liverpool Academy under Glenn Hoddle, apparently.
Yep. So, you know, they've brought in a lad that's capable. You know,
he's caused problems, hasn't he, this afternoon? And the thing is, as well, his work rate was good. He never gave up throughout the game. But, I mean, going back to James's question and in regards to, how poor or how good are FC and how poor are Altrincham or vice versa, I think they're very easily even. This division, I think it's a three-tier division, isn't it?
It is.
And FC United are in that second tier where I believe, I've been saying for 2 months now, we're safe. I don't think there's any problems with FC United being able to compete in this division. Altrincham are playing for their lives, and been playing for their lives as they have. They've put in a performance this afternoon that they're all there themselves as players, management, and talking to the directors. That's like 3 points for them. They actually are very pleased with that performance and actually getting something, because the heads can be, they're up, aren't they? They've got beaten 3-0 at their place.
That's what it is.
And they've got a draw here.
I think that's what it is more so than anything. They took the yardstick off last week. It was a 3-0 result. It wasn't a 3-0 performance.
No.
You know, we've got to be honest. I mean, I was looking at their players coming off the field at the end of that game last week, and they looked gutted, because they put a lot of work rate into it. And I'll tell you what, sometimes there was some quality of football down this right-hand side, you know, that we was privy to, because obviously they were playing right in front of us, and you could see the movement and, you know, the skills, you know, of their players. But saying that, you know, say what you want. It's all about scoring goals.
Yeah.
You know, and the 3 points, you know.
Well, let's say we're professional last week, but that was a professional performance by not playing particularly well, but when it needs be, and I think sometimes teams don't get credit for being professional
and
actually going winning games, and that's what it's about, is winning games at the end of the day.
Of course it is.
And being professional. There have been many occasions when you can play some fast-flowing, beautiful football, but being cynical in front
being
of goal,
pretty.
being just exactly what you need to be at the right time, and that's what we did last week, and we haven't quite managed to do that
today.
Well,
I'd rather be effective than pretty.
Yeah.
And Emily mentioned it today, and you were talking about it quite a bit on Boxing Day, the thing of playing forward long balls in the centre. Did you think that was still...
It wasn't as prevalent today. I felt that they tried to build up play. A lot of balls were played into feet, you know, into Gilchrist's feet, and then the lights, they were pinging it off then to the lights of Jerome in space, you know, where he could have a go one-on-one against the fullback. And it was a nice little contest, to be honest. I mean, Jerome won a few of his battles, like, you know, and... You know, Densmore, he won a few of his battles, you know, which was good. I really felt it was a pretty even game, and I felt that the score reflected, you know, how the game was played against one another. A little bit of silliness, you know, just after half-time there.
What do we conclude about that? That the foul by Malt was the referee had judged that to be a strong challenge. That was And then Asquith kicked the ball at him. Was that what happened? Which was that obviously, particularly with it's quite threadbare, our centre-back positions, you know, in terms of we haven't got options in the way we have up front in the midfield. Seemed out of character, that, for Luke Asquith. Never, don't see him as a hot-headed player.
You say that, and I mean, I see him in a slightly different role. Like, you know, I think he does... try to stand his ground and maybe antagonise his, you know, a little bit of comeback. But, you know, that's down to the individual. I think he's done well over the past games that I've watched him play, you know, and I can't fault him on that. And I think it's a nice little combination, him and Kay, you know, at the back, which is quality. And an element that's been missing for FC, you know, over the season. You know, they've struggled with centre-backs and what have you, know, to knit together and to be a bit of a unit, you know, and a strength. And that's good, you know. It's nice to see him fighting for his own ground and wanting to be the winner. Harry Winter, you know, possibly stole the show last week, and I thought he was very influential again today. Without him in front of that central two, and I don't believe it's just a unit of Ashworth and Kay. I think he makes the trio up, you know, to... give you a little bit of depth, because at the end of the day he's there to protect them too, and he does a good job at it.
Yeah, he's got a good engine, he's got good quality, hasn't he? And also, I suppose, it allows, with a player like him in the team, to let other players actually express themselves, and we're looking at players specifically that express themselves. And, you know, I want to just turn to FC United's for me player of the game, not quite sure, but near enough there, Kieran Glynn. FC United are very lucky to have a player of that kind of quality, 18 years of age, a lot of flair, got great balance, great control. When he loses the ball, what I like about him, he goes back and wins it again. And he doesn't mind putting a challenge in. I mean, the guy's got...
The trouble is there, he maybe just overdoes the running.
Yeah, yeah.
And causes himself situations where he has to then run after to regain the ball that he's just lost.
Is that out of frustration, do you think, though? Because when he sees players in front, we saw 15 minutes where they were looking for players to be making movements. And I mean, there was one incident down here.
Never stops moving while he's on the football field, by the way.
No, that's true. But
when
we're down here and Tong's taking a throw in, and it's actually taken about a minute, it seems, and he hasn't got it. He's just looking for someone. There was not a great deal of movement. And a young player with that kind of flair, you're thinking, just give me the ball. I would have liked to see him a bit further up the pitch with the 15, 20 minutes to go, rather than sitting deep as he was. But he was the only one,
Swampy, that was moving to actually receive that ball.
That's the reason, yeah. He was coming back for it to gather the ball and take it forward. But it was refreshing. I mean, that for me, watching that player today, probably not having his best game, but having, a game that reminds me of a Carlos Rocca on the pitch. A player that's got that... can excite, because his first touch, I mean, it's every time, he's going round players, he's going through players, he's strong, he doesn't get knocked off the ball. And I can understand, I mean, you from a scouting perspective and other scouts that are watching, they're the kind of players you're going to be watching, because that kind of player is going to evolve, going to get stronger and better and better and better.
Got a raw talent there, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the raw talent needs channeling in the right directions. Now, to coach him and get him to work to his capabilities, because it's no good asking him to do things he's not capable of doing.
No, no.
But the fact is, like, once you're getting him to do the best things that complement his style of play, you'll get more out of him. And I'll tell you what, you'll get more out of him consistently. And that's the thing. And I've watched him, you know, over like a good few games, and the lad's got talent. He seems to have a really good makeup about him, you know, in his manner and his composure. Things don't faze him. If he makes a mistake, it's as though it's never happened, which is great. You know, that's superb, that. You know.
Temperament is all important, isn't it? Well, a young age like that being thrown in.
Yeah, very much so.
And the one player that we've talked about, well, I've talked about on numerous occasions, and once he's fully fit and hopefully he's back, he's going to be again a big influence in FC United for this season, hopefully for next season, well, primarily next season, I think now, is Rory Fallon.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of quality. And I can see this, you know, the similarities with Kieran, the way he plays, because, you know, Fallon's got that sweeping snake kind of run, and
he's a little bit more, shall I say, electric in his style, though, Fallon, do you not think?
Oh, yeah, he's more direct, and when he's gone, he's off, isn't he?
Kieran's glides a little bit.
Well, he holds, I mean, and you should never make these sort of like analogies, but he gets the ball and he stops. And he comes back, and it is like Best. Like Best was, he used to go like that, and they go, oh no, I'm going this way. Oh, I'll go around here. I'll go and do that.
What that does is that shifts defenders about.
Yeah.
With that little step, you'll shift the defender away, which will create a little spot that you could possibly thread a ball through, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about, you know, movement.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. After the match, Ben caught up with FC United manager Carl Margeson.
So, Carl, Happy New Year. Good first 40 seconds or so, but then Alty started to go with a bit more confidence. But what was your take on the overall game?
Yeah, I said it at half-time. I think we've kind of scored too early. We did have chances and we looked positive, but there was always had that feeling of, you know, after winning 3-0 at their place, that we might just kind of, it's only slightly, you only need to drop it a slight little bit in this league and you're going to get punished. And I think that's, we possibly took our foot off the pedal a little bit, and like you say, got punished. And then I think to be honest the sendings off have killed the game, more so for us. You know, losing the centre half is a lot harder to adapt, rather than losing a midfielder.
I understood why Ashworth was sent off. He kicked the ball at the player where he was down, and he did hit him. I don't know what the Alty player was sent off for. Do you know anything, what the referee said about all that?
It was a tackle on
Winter.
On Harry Winter, and he's gone over the top.
We all thought Winter was going to get a second yellow, but no, it was just a weird thing. The thing about Alty on Boxing Day was they were missing a couple of players, it felt like, and they've had those players come in now, and you could see that they were a better side than they were on Boxing Day.
It's this league, there's no easy games, how many times do you say it, but you know, I thought the second half we've pressed, but not really been able to cut them open, and that shows, you know, they're fighting for their lives, and they, you know, a club with a proud tradition isn't going to lie down for anybody, and I'm sure they'll take points from quite a few places.
Now, Alty today was one thing, next week it's Fylde away. Is the mentality going to be slightly different for that one, do you think? Because we're going back to the old backs against the wall kind of thing, aren't we, in that one?
Well, it's going to be a difficult game, you know that. You know, top of the league, and score goals are fun the full time. So, to be honest, it's a free one for us. You know, our run of form has been fantastic. You know, we're six league games, 5 wins and 1 draw. So, you know, that's the kind of form we want to continue towards the end, from now to the end of the season. And we've got to start, you know, try and do that next week at Fylde. It's going to be a really tough job, but it's, you know, it's one where we can go and enjoy and express ourselves.
And just a quick mention for a couple of injuries and that kind of thing. Nathan Lowe's come back today. Sheridan, I think, is out for another couple of weeks, is it? He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. I thought Glynn had a very good game, to be fair to him. What's the personnel like going into this game on Saturday?
Well, as you just mentioned, Nathan's back in contention. Sam Sheridan's going to be out. Other than that, everybody's fine.
Well, Carl, have a good New Year's Day, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers, Ben.
Carl Margeson there to hear now where that 1-1 draw leaves FC United in the league table. And for all the other results from a busy day in the National League North, it's now time for this week's edition of Marv Sports Report.
Thank you, Cockers. Happy New Year to you, dear listener, and to you, Cockers. And welcome to this week's Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Well, that point for FC sees the Reds unbeaten in 2017. Bing, bong, bangarang. And in 11th position, a bit further up the table, and AFC Fylde maintained their 6-point lead at the top of the table following a crucial 3-1 win at third place Chorley. Second place Kidderminster Harriers hosted Worcester City in an entertaining encounter which saw the home side win by 2-1. Fourth place Darlington, they took a home point from the Shea Stadium against 9th place Halifax Town. Wait, they took a point from home. No, they took home a point. Basically, they were at the Shea Stadium playing Halifax. At Halifax, they took a point. Very clear. Anyway, Salford City are now occupying 5th spot after a 2-0 win at the Horsfall Stadium against 3rd bottom Bradford Park Avenue, while in form Nuneaton Town made a winning start to 2017 as they completed the double over local rivals Tamworth at the Coombe of Abbey Arena, a result that saw the Lambs drop out of the playoff places. Stockport County's run of victories, which had extended back to late November, came to an end at Edgeley Park against Harrogate Town. The Lincolnshire derby between Gainsborough and Boston at the North Home ended with the visitors earning all 3 points. And finally, Telford United have been pushed back towards trouble and are now only 2 points above fourth bottom Gainsborough and 4 above the drop zone after losing 3-2 against Alfreton Town. And that concludes this week's very clear Marv's Sports Report. With me, Marv, Happy New Year and go in peace to love and serve your football club.
Thanks, Marv, and a Happy New Year. The Reds return to league matters this coming weekend as FC United travel north to take on AFC Fylde. Please note, Fylde now play at their brand new home, and the address for the ground is Mill Farm, Coronation Way, Wesham, Preston, PR43JZ. That's Mill Farm, PR43JZ. Kick-off on Saturday afternoon will be at 3 p.m, but as always, if you cannot make this game, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. right here on your very own FCUM radio.
Hi, I'm Alan Gowling. Don't worry, it'll all be over by Christmas. You're listening to FCUM radio.
Welcome back to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly we'll be hearing from Jackie Forster on her initiative to encourage a greater attendance of women at football games. But before that, it's this week's board interview. And following Sunday's match with Altrincham, Ben caught up with Lawrence Gill for a Broadhurst Park ground update.
So we're now joined by board member Lawrence Gill. Hello Lawrence, how's things?
I'm fine, thank you Ben. Happy New Year and all that to you and your listeners.
What's your board responsibility?
Primarily it's been about the ground, so it's about getting the SMRE sorted. Obviously, trying to budget over the next however many months and years to get the ground to its finished state, which obviously is a challenge for us all. But the early part was, the good success was we kept the SMRE bar open,
yeah.
Which is, you know, very much an FC feel to it, and what we were looking to maintain.
So, coming into the season, there was talk, obviously, because underneath the St Mary's Road end, it is a kind of, well, make do and mend kind of approach.
Yeah, that's a nice
I quite approach. Like it under there, as is, to be honest with you. And it's not like it's, you know, that it's meeting all the regulations at the moment, but they are temporary regulations.
Correct.
But I quite like it under there. But it needs investment. It needs to change to meet regulations in the future. And what are we talking about here? What needs to change under the St Mary's Road end?
Well, we've always had a bit of trouble with the floor, so we had to put some temporary measure in place, which we've done. But what we've got to do to prove to them is that we have a plan, that we have a plan going forward. So we need to hard concrete it as a minimum. We need to put some extra toilets in there as well, and we need to improve the sound system so they can hear the announcements for stadium evacuation, that sort of thing. So they're the basic things we need to get done. But we now have to, moving into the new year, provide them with a plan of what we're going to do, the time frame for fixing the SMRE to the standards that they expect.
Now, obviously, there's only so much we can say on the radio station. A lot of it is member-specific, but there has been a plan, well, various plans offered to the membership to digest and to take on board and to see what they want to do in the future. So there is plans on the table.
Yep.
We have had on Adrian over the past few weeks or so talking about the need to fundraise. This ground isn't finished.
Nope.
Don't rest on your laurels, supporters, that kind of thing. So we know what's needed with regards to St Mary's Road end. What about the ends of the main stand? Because those two are quite important issues when it comes to the ground.
They are. When we opened for Benfica, the council looked at what the ends were like, and because of the plans they were filled in, they had seats there. They were a bit perturbed by that. But we're in dialogue with the council about that. It's just yet another capital burden we've got to bear. But we'll keep... Because the important thing for us is to keep talking to the council. That's why we need to behave ourselves and keep off the pitch. We need to keep applying to the terms of the traffic plan that we put forward. But it's part of the long-term thing. And the other thing I want to see us do is put some terracing in the away end.
Absolutely. So the main stand isn't necessarily an urgent priority. The St Mary's Road end's more urgent.
It's urgent because if we close that bar, we lose a facility. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the important thing. Yes, we have got to do the ends, but we need to keep talking.
I'm just prioritising in my head, you say. I'm putting these in a little league table.
Well, you might. SMRE first. And, you know, and that gives us the opportunity to use it for other things during the week and generate more
cash. And the whole thing will snowball as a result.
I think it will. Well, that's the thing. I think it is. It's a big, deep breath. The next 6 months are going to be tough. Nobody's pretending it's going to be anything different than that. It's going to be a tough end of this season. And we need people to have confidence in the future of the club and be able to invest. You know, we're asking people to put money in. It's fact of life. We need the cash to do the things we need to do.
Absolutely. And then the third thing, obviously, is something that came up in a survey. Obviously, that survey was a couple of years ago now. But I think with the likes of Stockport, Salford are going to bring a big crowd, I feel. Yeah. Alty brought a big crowd. There does need to be terracing in that end, the Lightbound Road end.
Absolutely. And fixed catering facilities and fixed toilets.
And how much are we looking for that?
I don't know.
Extravagance.
To be honest, we haven't got that far, to be honest, because it is, as we've just discussed, it is the third, maybe it might be even further down. But it's third in my mind, the SMRE, main stand, the facilities for our away supporters. Because if we came to a ground and we weren't allowed to go to a decent toilet or get to the bar, you know, we don't like that very much. So, and we want to welcome everybody here. So, yes, we need to get it done at some point in the future.
Grant funding as well. Obviously, over the last 10 years, we've been the kings of grant
funding.
We have. And obviously, there was issues around the last big grant application we did. But the relationship's been brought back together again, hasn't it?
It has. We have reapplied. And we got some good feedback at the AGM because we had the boards presenting what we wanted the SMRE to look like. And it was very much our bar, the way we want it, with our, you know, this punk feel we've got to it, that is used by other people. The major difference would be the bars would be screened off during the week and we'd have a solid floor of some sort.
You're keeping the property of FCM on the girders, aren't you?
Well, we want that, We want that. That's
the most important
thing. We want to keep those little things. It's like the yellow and black stripes thing. It's the end, isn't it? That's our version. Exactly. You know, we want to keep our flags in there. We want to keep our pictures in there. It's an FC bar which other people use when we're not using it. That's the thing. People getting that in their minds. It's not a series of hot desks that we shut to one side and drink in the classroom on a Saturday. It's our bar that other people come in to use.
So, time frame?
Time for change. We should hear very soon whether our initial application has been accepted. We then go back to the membership because we want the membership to agree that, yes, we want to explain everything that we've got to do. Are there any caveats that people aren't happy about? They have the opportunity to discuss them.
Mm-hmm.
springtime, by the end of the spring, we'll know whether we get the money. Then we start building during the summer.
But we, like we were saying with yourself just earlier and Adrian, it's not just about the grants. We can't live on grants.
We can't live,
especially
we
in this current climate.
Not in the current climate. We've seen it already because the power for change has changed. It's come down. It's tougher now. It's more competitive. People haven't got the money to throw around, sadly. So we need to generate more income. So that's the other thing the SMR will allow us to do. It'll give us a facility we can rent out, as well as put, you know, to the community for, you know, Andy Cheshire's work that he's
done.
Yes,
absolutely.
Which is one of our, you know, one of our major strong points at the moment.
And the radio.
And the radio, yeah, of course, absolutely. Yes. You give your little sound booth if you...
Absolutely,
you,
that'd be lovely,
With the sponsors logos round the back.
Just a coffee machine.
Just a coffee machine, yeah. But and blankets.
Is there anything else on the ground that maybe people don't see that's changed? Obviously, we've seen the cabin come and what the FCM diggers are doing around the ground is superb stuff as well.
Yeah. What you've got to remember is so much of the work is done by the volunteers. You know, there's too many to name, but they've done a tremendous job, and they let us do things like with the cabin. You know, we kept the cost down because we used our volunteers. I think we've got enough on our plate at the moment. We've all got great ideas of what we want to do. I'm looking forward to when we have the brewery.
What is this breaking news?
Remember, there's a story right at the start that we're sat in an aquifer and we could get our own water.
That is a good idea.
So I think there's loads of things, but at the moment it's basics. Sadly, it's just about money.
It feels like we've got a plan. The message has gone out now about the need to keep fundraising, keep the development fund up.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us,
mate.
It's
a pleasure.
Keep up the good work.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.
Ben there speaking with FC United board member Lawrence Gill. And football returns to Broadhurst Park this coming Sunday as the FC United women's team take to the 3G to take on Altrincham Ladies in the league. Kickoff will be at 2 p.m. on Sunday and the main stand bar will also be open. That's nearly it for this week's This Club Is My Club, but before we go, Broadhurst Park on Saturday was visited by Altrincham supporter and legendary fan campaigner Jackie Forster. Ben caught up with Jackie before kick-off to discuss her latest project, Women at the Game.
Hello Jackie, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you very much indeed.
So, you're here to promote something, an idea that you've had, and it's now getting to the stage now where it might become more than an idea. It's actually going to happen. What is this idea?
Well, it's called Women at the Game, and basically what it's there for, very simply, is to help and encourage more women to go to spectator sports. It's not going to be restricted to football, but I'm starting with football because you've got to start somewhere, and that's what I know the best. I've been an Altrincham FC fan since I was around about 5 years old, when my late dad took me to a match because he didn't know what to do with me after ballet dancing lessons on a Saturday. So he took me to Moss Lane. So I know footy pretty well. And I've noticed as I go around the country, and I've been working for Supporters Direct for over 13 years, that although there are women go to the matches, and there are more and more women go to the matches, a lot of women do have an issue about going to a match. If a bloke on a Saturday afternoon thinks, oh, what am I going to do today? He could go to footy and he thinks, oh, I'll just go to footy. And they feel very comfortable, very, you know, confident just to walk in. But for a woman, it's not so easy. They might actually fancy going to a match. And a lot of women feel more comfortable going with women mates. So what I'm trying to do is just set up a more comfortable, friendly way to go to a match. So if you meet beforehand and then walk to the match together, go in together, spend the match together, there's no reason why you don't get the bug.
What do you think the benefits are? Because obviously lads go to football matches all the time in groups. In fact, they go by the coach load in some cases. What do you think the benefits are of women doing having a similar way of going to a football game where they can go in groups and that kind of thing? What are the major benefits, Jackie?
I think the benefits are for the women themselves, and that's what I'm doing it for, really. It's for the women themselves to go and watch something that is traditionally male. However, clubs are going to benefit. 50% of the population is female, but that's going to benefit the club because they're going to have more of an income stream, and it's going to appeal to more women and more families going. And hopefully clubs can provide better facilities for women, because I've been to grounds.
We always know about the toilet situation and that kind of thing.
I've been to grounds where the toilets have been absolutely despicable for women. So
can I just say, the gents aren't too spectacular either at some places.
I appreciate that. Yes. I have been sent photographs of gents' toilets before now.
It's not really a toilet, it's more a wall.
Yes.
So what's next for this then? When does the pilot start and where do you want to roll it out to next?
Well, the very first pilot is at the club at the closest to my heart and the closest to my home. I know the board, I know everybody who works there.
Yeah.
And it's Alty, yes. So it's easier to organise it. So it's just purely and simply a pilot. I've set up a Facebook group where people can join from all over the country.
Plug it.
That's called Women at the Game. Just put that into Facebook, you'll find it. I think we're up to about 120-odd women. And I've also set up a meetup group, which at the moment is... because you have to do it very geographically local, so it's just for Altrincham. So next Saturday's match, which is the 7th of January, Altrincham entertain Gloucester City. And we're going to meet at 2 o'clock at the Little Deli, which is on Stamford Park Road. It's the nearest cafe to Altrincham's ground. We'll all walk to the match together, and we're going to sit in the family stand, which the Altrincham Football Club are very kindly are going to reserve an area for us. BBC World Service, I'm going to be interviewed by them on Friday. So I'm hoping this is going to work, and it's purely and simply to make friends, which I know is something that FC United are very keen on, making friends, and that's all it's about.
And we'll make sure that the link is put in the description of this podcast as well, so people can click on the Facebook page. Just yourself more wider, Jackie. Obviously, you've been a champion and a bedrock of lots of campaigns in football. The last one I spoke to you about was about ownership of football grounds and them being a community asset. And actually, when grounds are about to be sold, like might be happening at Millwall, I heard that being mentioned. Because it's a community asset, there's a first, people have to be notified within that community. That was a cracking campaign.
Yeah, the asset of community value is still something that is open. It's available to any sports fans at all to register their stadium as a community asset with their local authority. And it works like a local land charge. A bit like when you buy your house, you do a local search, and that reveals to you, a prospective purchaser, what is going on in the locality, if there's anything going to be built, if anything's going to be demolished, has had to have permission for. Then it goes on that same register that the stadium is an asset. Therefore, should that stadium come up for sale, the owner must, if it's on the register, notify the local authority that they're selling it, and therefore the group who've registered it get to know. That's all the rights that you have. There's a few more details to it, but that's basically the right. You get the right to know it's up for sale. But you also get the right to work up a bid to buy it, and you've got 6 months in which to do that. It's not a very strong piece of legislation, but we are hopeful that it is going to be strengthened and become more of a right to buy.
It's a start, isn't it?
It's a start.
So how are you doing, Jackie, as well? What's next for you, for yourself?
Yeah, I'm okay. I haven't worked since March. 12 months ago, I was only given months to live. I'm still here. Here I am in January 2017.
Still campaigning.
Still doing everything I can, going to home and away matches as much as I can. And I think that being busy, being active, has helped me enormously. I'm still around, and I still go to 1874 Northwich matches when I possibly can.
And that was one of your, with your connections, that was one of your success stories. And nearly there, nearly in the NPL, nearly about to overtake Northwich Victoria, the truth be known.
Yeah.
So it's keep campaigning, Jackie. the world of football is a better place.
Stop me.
The world is a better place for your voice and for your opinions and for your passion for the game. So, Jackie Foster, thank you for joining us on This Club Is My Club.
And that's it from me for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear the show on Tuesday this week at 7:30 a.m, 12:30, and 7 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening. And from me, Cockers, see you next time.